Welcome to another exciting edition of the Thought Police in the very, very sweltering hot summer day that we're having here in London. I'm Mike Graham. Who are you?
Emmanuel Macron.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. No, actually, I'm Brigitte Macron because we blokes have got to stick together. You know what I mean? Yeah. Have you seen that these three women that said that Brigitte Macron is a bloke?
Yes.
Brigitte took them to court for defamation for libel, lost, right? And they've just fucking won the case. So you can now officially say she's a bloke.
Yeah, right. She's a very strange-looking woman, I have to say. What was even stranger, though, by the way, was that picture of the fucking out the front of Downing Street, because not only did she look weird, but, you know, Mrs. Starmer suddenly appeared, who I don't think's been seen.
Fucking hell, Victoria Sponger. Yeah.
She came out in a sort of white, summery kind of dress, and I thought, I don't think we've seen her for probably the best part of a couple of months.
I agree. I mean, she's like the invisible woman, and we all know the talk about that marriage, that it's very much an illusion, as it were. But since she did get wheeled out for the French visit, I think what it proves is that for that fucking cunt Keir Starmer.
Oh, yeah.
This is very special to be communing with the leader of a major European nation.
Oh, he loves it.
So it's very special.
A lot of hugging.
So special.
I mean, have you ever seen two men hug each other more?
I know.
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, so specially wheels out, his non-existent wife.
Yeah.
So that is an indication of just how special he thinks Macron is. Meanwhile, every other person in Britain thinks Macron is an A-grade ocean-going fuckwit.
Yeah.
Funnily
enough,
what a cunt.
They also think that in France, by the way. Everybody in France thinks he's a cunt too. So they're basically both doing the same thing. You know, running
cunt.
Away from le petit con. Running away from their own fucking audience because they know that their own audience fucking hates them.
That's exactly
same
it.
Goes for Starmer.
That's what all that embracing was about.
Yeah.
You know, they're like brothers in arms. Everybody hates us, but at least we love each other.
I know.
It's pathetic.
Right.
And that fucker, he comes over here. I mean, we need to talk about the migrant deal in a little while. But that fucker comes over here for this mystifying, baffling three-day state visit, which cost us, the British taxpayers, £5 million.
Yeah.
And what does he do? Fucking lectures us about being lied to about Brexit.
Right.
Fuck you, you little French fuck.
And then tells us it's all our fault, which he's probably not wrong about, actually, that the fucking migrants are coming here in the first place. I mean, I get his point, because actually Nigel Farage said the same thing.
Well, he's right about that.
But it's also his fault, because they fucking come through France before they get to us. So if he did something more about fucking detaining them over there, then we wouldn't have much problem.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe use some of that £771 million we've given them over the past few years and actually patrol their beaches and actually stop
migrants. How about you build a fucking detention centre and put them in there? You could also try doing that. There's fuck all there, isn't there? The north coast of France.
Well, one thing we know about Macron's attitude to the migrant crisis, this is one of the very few areas where he goes out to appease the right, Le Pen and the gang, the Le Pen supporters, because the right wing of France, in fact, most of France, they don't want the migrants, they want them to come across the channel. So Macron goes along with that.
Yeah.
Macron's policy has always been, make the right noises, but let the fuckers go across the channel because we don't want them.
Exactly. Because, I mean, you've been to, I'm sure, as I have, parts of Paris which are fucking completely taken over by these illegal migrants. And the French don't want them there, so they leave them to basically fucking wallow in their own shit.
Well, the French are serious racists.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've got...
Well, I remember George Galloway always used to say on his radio show, he said, if you think that there's this country here, it's try France.
Yeah.
Because France is really racist. And so is Italy, so is Spain, all of those countries. Yeah, yeah. Remember when Lewis Hamilton was first... racing in Formula One, and when he went to Spain, they used to make monkey noises.
Jesus,
because that's how fucking they treat black people.
Yeah.
It's the same in France, same in Italy. You know, in most countries of Europe, they're much more racist than we are.
The most extraordinary thing in France is that massive Muslim community, mainly those who came from Albania. They are now on the third generation of these Albanian Muslims. So around Paris, as you say, Paris is ringed.
Yeah.
You've got the lovely city of Paris in the middle, and you've got that perimeter road that goes around, and then all around the perimeter road, these fucking great
high rises.
Sinister high rises full of Muslim migrants who are third generation. They are the grandchildren of the.
But they're also from Tunisia and places like that.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. They're the grandchildren of the original Muslims who came from Africa after the Albanian War.
Yeah.
And they are still...
You mean the Algerian War?
Algerian.
I was saying, they're probably from Albania.
Yeah, as well, yeah. My mistake, Algeria. And they're still not integrated. Yeah. They are still totally separate. And, you know, this isn't about, you know, like here, where our migrant or our Muslim community, many of them don't want to be integrated. In France... it's the French won't let them integrate because they're fucking racist. They say you can fuck off, you can live in these high rises, you know.
No, I know, it's awful. It's horrible. But this is the thing, you know, it's a massive problem for fucking Western Europe, which brings us to the deal. The deal, the fucking one in, one out deal, which fucking, you know, the TV companies of this world, you know, Sky, ITV, BBC, clambering over themselves to say it's a one-in, one-out deal. Fuck, it isn't a one-in, one-out deal. It's at least 17 in, one out, or possibly none out, because when they ask Keir Starmer to explain how it's going to work, he's going, oh, we will detain them. Well, how are you going to detain them? Are you going to detain everyone that comes?
We're going to send back one in every 17.
Right.
Right. So I think that one that we sent back, this is according to the deal, that one that we send back, they will then swap us with one of theirs, only their migrant will be sort of legit and legal and have family here and all that. So
it won't be a terrorist.
It's all very tenuous.
Well, that's all right then.
It's all very tenuous.
Will he be a rapist?
Look. I bet Andrea Jenkins on air last night. I said, I'm going to bet you 10 quid right now. I might as well made it 1,000 quid. They will never get a single fucking migrant from Britain to France under this deal.
I agree.
How can it happen?
Yeah.
Look, when you talk about this set, 1 in 17.
Right.
Imagine, so all of these fucking migrants that get here.
Yeah.
Let's, for the sake of argument, just take 17 migrants and arrive here, right? All of them immediately get... you know, money-grabbing immigration lawyers who start fighting their asylum case. Yeah. Imagine you're...
Because they've now given 60 million quid for the legal aid budget,
Yeah, it's
right?
gone up by it's gone up by 14 million quid.
Right.
Yeah, so you imagine you're the immigration lawyer for the unlucky one who gets chosen to go back. They'll have a fucking field day.
Yes, they will.
They'll just go, look, here's the thing... why is my client being picked on? This isn't fair.
Yeah.
And when Starmer was asked the criterion how you will choose this 1 in 17, he said, I'm not going to get into that now. That's because he hasn't got a fucking clue.
Yeah, he was trying to hide behind, like the Southport bollocks, right? Trying to hide behind the fact that it was procedurally difficult because it might affect the way that the operation is carried out. What's a load of shite?
Yeah.
You know, does he think we're fucking stupid? This guy is a lawyer, right? He's supposed to understand the law.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to understand fucking parking rules, never mind the law.
Yeah,
he's got no fucking idea.
Yeah, so how do they choose the one? And that will be challenged successfully.
It'll be
in the court
forever, right?
Yeah, so that means you will never get any over there.
He's going to try and get 50 a week, he claims.
And,
right?
and look, here's the other thing. Yeah, as you say, 50 a week.
Yeah.
50, that's 2,600 in a year.
Right.
Conveniently, for this, for the point I'm making, last week, 2,599 migrants came over illegally on small boats. So that's 1 week's worth, and he's fixing to send back 50. That amount in a year. Fucking hell, what is the fucking point? And here's the thing, right, so the idea is, you know, so I've said, well, hang on a second, one in, one out. The essential nature of the migrant crisis is numerical.
Yeah.
We can't take any more of these people. Right. This country is full.
Right.
So how does one in, one out, how does it swap the migrant cure our problems numerically?
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Right.
And
also, where are these people going to come from who have supposedly been, you know, sort of pre-loaded, if you like, yeah. so that, you know, when you send the one back, yeah. where do you go to find the one who can come? Yeah, where, well, is, where is he coming from?
I think, the French, I guess. I mean, look, it's, this is just...
No, but for some... For,
I don't know, mate. I don't know.
But this is what I'm saying. For the purposes of the argument, yeah. say, right, this person has to have been vetted. He has to have been cleared.
Yeah.
And he has to have been linked to, in some way to this country. Yeah. So he's got, you know, a fucking cousin called Mohammed yeah. who works in, lives in Leicester, right?
Yeah.
But where is he while all of this is going on?
Yeah.
Well, is he sitting in a fucking office waiting for somebody from Britain to go, right, you can come in?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay.
What the fuck?
So there's that, right? I think almost more to the point, I mean, that is a good point, but more to the point is we then send one back to France.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use the masculine here because it's almost yeah. certainly going to be a bloke.
It will be a bloke.
So yeah. when we send back our migrant to France, yeah. who we probably don't know fuck all about,
right.
What happens to him then?
Right.
I'll tell you what fucking happens to him. He does a fucking U-turn. He goes back to Calais
yep.
and gets on the next dinghy to Dover.
Yep.
It's a fucking joke. Yep. And to go back to my point about deterrent.
It's all bullshit.
Deterrent, yeah. right? So... you've got a 1 in 17 chance of being the unlucky one.
Yeah.
So the odds, the Sun newspaper this morning worked out what the odds are
yeah.
Of you getting to stay.
Right.
It's 20 to 1 on. Now, yeah. that's not a deterrent.
No.
Everyone's going to roll the dice yeah. on that, aren't yeah. they?
Sure.
It's just, I just can't even begin to get my head around this.
But again, to go back to the detaining bit, who's he fucking detaining exactly? Does he say that, for example, what was the number?
2,599 came across
last
week.
So, say, for example, that was this week, right? Yeah. Now that he's got this new deal in place, is his plan to detain all of those people? And if so, where's he fucking putting them?
Well, does he say that he's going to detain people?
His line today. And he's put out a statement
he's
again.
He's going to detain every fucking migrant.
Well, he doesn't say, but he says. People who come here now, because of this new rule, will be detained.
Wow.
Right? But they can't be. Because how is he getting... He can't detain... The only place he's got to detain them in is Manston, right? Which is the place down near Dover.
Yeah.
Where they're currently holding people. It's an old airport, right?
I know it well.
You know it well. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
But Manston is already full to the gunnels because, you know...
It's now the reception centre.
So it gets filled up literally every fucking day by people coming in.
Yeah.
And then they get shipped out from there into various fucking hotels around the country.
We should go down there. We should... Yeah. Our station should go... Apparently, it's like the seventh circle of hell.
Oh, yeah.
Absolute chaos.
Mayhem. Yeah. And nobody knows what's going on, and the conditions are fucking terrible. So they can't take them there.
Yeah.
So where the fuck are they detaining them?
Yeah.
Right?
Has he said that?
You said detaining them.
I mean, I'd love that. I mean, I wish we'd been doing this always, you know, as soon as they get there, fucking lock them up and then...
Right.
Then fucking send them home again.
But how's he going to do that? Well, as usual,
it'll
turn out that they're being what you might call economical with the fucking vocabulary. And when they say detain, they don't actually mean lock up. They just mean stop them. But there'll be, you know, but there'll be some bullshit fucking excuse. But there's no fucking way they're detaining all these people while they sift through which one of them they're going to send back.
Exactly right. And I'll tell you what this will mean. The unspoken story about the migrant crisis is when they come here, you know, we've got the narrative is this, oh, we put them in 4-star hotels and then we distribute them around the country. But quite a few of them, what they do is they arrive in Dover, we put them in a 4-star hotel, they wash and they get themselves a good night's sleep, where they wash and shave, get some breakfast, and
they don't shave, they've got beard.
So they get up, they comb their but their long beards, and then they just fuck off, never to be seen again.
Right.
So this new scheme, given that I suppose slightly they might think, or maybe I might be the 1 in 17,
yeah.
will just mean more of them will just disappear.
Yeah.
You know, so it's breathtaking, the uselessness of this scheme. And amid all of it, whatever happened to Smash the Gang?
I know, we don't talk about that anymore. Smashing the Gangs, no, don't mention that.
It's
anymore.
Fucking ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. But also, the other bollocks about all of this is that the EU is probably going to say you can't do it anyway.
Well,
because there's a lot of countries like Spain,
it's Greece, five countries.
Italy, They don't want these guys
it's
back.
It's five countries. Yeah. I've written to the European Commission. It's Spain, Italy, Greece, Malta and Cyprus.
Yeah.
To say, look, where in this deal that France is making with Britain, where are the guarantees that the migrants that we that Britain sends back to France don't end up in our countries?
Right.
And that
and they can't guarantee
that will be the stumbling block.
Yeah, right.
Where the EU will get involved and they will tell their little puppet, their little poodle, French poodle Macron, you can't do this, and then the deal ends anyway.
Macron knows very well, I'm sure.
That he knows it's bollocks.
He knows it's bollocks, and because Starmer's so fucking useless at negotiating anything, as we've fucking seen, everything he negotiates, he gets fucked up the arse, right? Funnily enough, pardon the pun, but you know, he's done it. He's done it again. He's fucking just thrown away the fucking stole the store because he doesn't. He just goes, yeah, okay, that sounds like a good deal. It's fucking idiotic.
He is hopeless. And the one thing, you know, Macron, time is running out for him. France is.
He's only there till next year.
But as a lot of people have said, he is a much, much better politician than Starmer.
Oh, for sure.
So he's done this deal.
Well, everyone's a much better politician than
Starmer. Yeah, we're better politicians than Starmer. We're better diplomats than Starmer.
Right.
But Macron's done this deal because he knows it doesn't amount to a hill of beans, but it looks good at the end of a state visit. Right. And by the way, that fucking banquet the other night, that state dinner at Windsor cost 300,000
quid. The more I look at
it's disgusting.
Right? The more I look at that, the more I think that was totally out of kilter with the way that we are feeling at the moment in this country.
Oh, God, man.
Completely, you know, over the top, ridiculously overindulgent. You know, the fucking table looked totally ridiculous.
Yeah, just disgusting. Yeah. Just disgusting. And I totally agree with you. I mean, I'm sure you're on my show, and I'm sure you had it as well. My switch will lit up with people just going, fuck this.
Yeah, I know.
Fuck this and their 300,000 pound meal.
And their fucking, you know, their medals and their fucking sashes and
all
that
shit. Yeah, I mean, I just think we've got to think about these state visits generally.
Yeah.
You know, it's just fucking politicians and fucking idiots from the royal family preening themselves, spending our fucking money, and they'll go, oh, it's very good for relations and trade deals. Well, prove it.
Yeah, exactly.
Prove it. This is just one of these things that people say.
Right.
Like, oh, the royal family's well worth it because of all the tourism we get.
Yeah.
Prove it.
Yeah.
Prove it.
I mean, I'm sure there is some truth to the tourism bit, but I'm not convinced that the fucking state visit means a row of beans.
I'm sure, and because of the cost of living crisis, because of our economy crashing, people really struggling.
Yeah.
Look at that awful, grotesque, obscene extravagance, and it makes them feel fucking sick.
It does.
And by the way, King Charles can go and fuck himself. What the fuck's he talking about? Irregular migration. Yeah. You know the problem with that? I'll cut Charlie some slack. You know, let's remember that the monarch, the sovereign, just like the Queen was, and now he's the King. When there's a state visit, he is just the puppet of the government.
Yeah.
He has to do exactly what the government says. They write his speech and all that. Yeah. But he should have kicked back against
that. I'm sure that in the days of the Queen, Elizabeth, she would have been wise enough to say, why don't you change that?
Because
that will be, you know, and even if she didn't want to say illegal, I don't know why.
Problematical or something.
Well, she could have just called them asylum seekers.
You know? See, the reason...
Because that's what some people call
them. The reason Charlie didn't kick back against irregular migration was because that's the way he thinks.
Yeah.
You know, if he was in politics, he would be on the left wing of the Lib Dem party.
He would.
He is wet to the point of being a fucking human swimming pool. Fucking green claptrap he's always going on about. Fucking hypocrite. Just cancelled the royal train because he never goes on it. Because if he's got to go 20 yards, he goes in a fucking jet.
Right.
You know, the fucker runs up more air miles than his brother Andy.
Yeah, well, Andy's back, of course, isn't he?
Yeah, he can fly again.
You know, what's the chances of him trying to fucking edge his way back in, right? Because
he's
clearly fucking somebody who thinks he's entitled to do it.
Yeah.
And there's no way he's going to sit inside his little fucking mansion and not go anywhere anymore. He's going to fucking start swanning about like he's fucking done nothing wrong, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. The thing about King Charles, though, is, you know, I've got nothing against the monarchy and, you know, people like it and all that. But this guy... this guy is pissing people off. Yeah. I'm sure you've had your
story. Oh, totally.
I
picked him up the first day before the fucking irregular fucking speech about the migrants, when he made his speech about 7/7, because he did that same thing where he basically kind of came out and went, oh, we have to be careful that we don't allow those people who wish to divide us, you know, to divide us. And I'm like, well, why don't you say something about the people who wish to fucking blow us up, you fucking twat?
And why don't you, why don't you we know, do, you know, why don't you, we say
call
the
a
truth?
Spade a spade.
Why don't we say the truth? You know, 7/7, by the way, just in case you're watching the BBC, because they never mentioned it, 7/7, the bombers were Muslims.
Yeah.
They were Islamic. You know, the BBC wrote an entire massive article on their website, never once mentioning the word Muslim or Islam. Jesus. It's a fucking joke. And then they wrote a second, they only brought Islam into it in a separate article, which was a load of Muslims saying how 7/7 had made their lives very difficult and made them less trustful of the white community. Oh, fuck's sake.
I know. That was the thing. I mean, at the time, I remember there was an awful lot of fucking people coming out, you know, politicians coming out and saying, you know, we must be careful to preserve the sanctity of the Muslim community. You know, we mustn't take it out on them. You know, they've got to be safeguarded. It was like, hang on a minute, 52 people are fucking dead.
Yeah, 750 injured. Yeah,
the people from the Muslim community. So I think you'd rather get your fucking priorities right.
Absolutely.
But he fell into that trap. And so he made this speech before the St. Paul's Cathedral service for the victims and all of that, which was lovely. But his statement didn't mention the fact that they were fucking bombs, as you say, planted by Muslim fucking fundamentalists.
Yeah, by Muslims. And after the 7/7 bombing, you know, this is the syndrome we're talking about. In those days, Ken Livingston was the mayor of London. And do you know what his first statement was?
No.
It's very important that we don't blame anyone for this.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you who I blame is the fucking Muslims who set the fucking bombs off.
I know.
You know.
But that was the trouble, because the left's first port of call is always, oh, well, the backlash is going to be terrible. We've got to protect everybody from that. And you go, well, hang on. Surely you should start condemning the fuckers who fucking blew everybody up first. They just don't want to do it. And he was the same. So I was having to go at him from that before he then launched into his bullshit fucking, you know, migrant speech.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, remember this. The vast majority of all terrorist atrocities all over the world, but especially in Britain, are by Islamic extremists, by Muslims.
Yeah.
And yet we're not allowed to mention that because that's racist and Islamophobic. Yeah.
Well,
fuck off.
You know that the fucking Islamophobia law, which they're trying to bring in, which is not really going to be a law, but
will
be effectively a law. One of the things that that has been suggested is that you won't be able to criticise Muslim bombers if they fucking blow something up. Because that will be considered to be Islamophobic. Yeah. No, I mean, the Muslim Council and their little arm, which is, they call it the Centre for Media Studies or something, but it's part of the Muslim Council of Britain. They've actually proposed that as something that should be included, as something which would be considered Islamophobic.
Exactly. It's fucking outrageous. Fucking right. You know, we've got a huge problem with this. Nobody's having a go at most Muslims. You know, you have to say this, and it's fair enough.
Yeah.
Most Muslims are perfectly decent people, you know, just like the rest of us trying to keep a roof over their head and feed their kids. And,
but there's quite a large cohort of them who are fucking nasty
nasty fuckers who want to take us over.
Anti-Semitic, fucking anti-Israel.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, the kind of people that march around on those Palestinian marches, you know, those are not nice people.
I agree.
You know.
They want to take us over.
Yeah.
They want Sharia law. Yeah. You can take your Sharia law and shove it where the fucking sun don't shine, you fuckers.
I'd love to be praised.
I mean, inshallah.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll tell you what we should talk about. Yeah. Fucking Greg Wallace.
Oh, right. What a cunt.
You know, Greg, I said the other day, I said, you know, it's funny, I never realised that a symptom of autism was taking all your fucking clothes off and sticking a fucking sock on your cock and running around the studio.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, the headline, I'm autistic.
The headline is Greg Wallace, his underpants and autism.
Yeah.
What the fuck is he talking about?
Yeah.
This is, you see, look, I mean, I've known about, you know, I know about shows, I know about the TV world.
Well, this is what
I've known about Wallace for a long, long time. In fact, I've been in makeup rooms.
Oh, really?
When they've spoken about it. His shtick was, he liked, well, no, I've been next to him.
Oh, have you?
He likes to
He likes to tell pretty young girls extremely disgusting jokes. He gets off on that. That is his thing. He likes likes to be overtly sexual around women. I think he gets off on it. And that this is the problem. So there was genuinely always a problem with Greg Wallace. That said, the other day, Lisa and Andy, finally growing a pair after all these years, questioned of the Director General, Tim Davie, after the debacle of Glastonbury. Yeah. Lisa and Andy said, look, Mr. Davie, why is it that no one ever gets fired from the BBC? After the death to the IDF bomb, villain shit, a small number of executives and the head of music, Laura Clark, I think her name was, 215 grand a year, by the way. They were asked to step back. What the fuck does that mean? So she said, listen, Andy, to her credit, said, look, I'm just struggling here. What do you have to do to get fired from the BBC? Yeah. I'll tell you, Lisa, you have to be working class.
Yeah.
They fire working class people. They fired Jim Davison. They fired Jermaine Janus. They fired Greg Wallace. I think Greg Wallace, they had a point, but it is interesting that he's working class. He's not one of them. He didn't go to Eton.
He's not one of the
managements. He didn't go to Oxford. Yeah. He's a working class barrow boy.
Yeah.
And the BBC is far more comfortable disciplining and firing working class people than it is firing their own, the public school Oxbridge
group. Yeah.
So there is that. Man. That said, Greg Wallace,
take a long time to fire him, mind you.
Yeah. What I don't like about Greg Wallace, a lot of things I don't like about Greg Wallace. When I was a TV critic, I used to give him a right answer. Got 2 minutes. 2 minutes. So I used to say, why does this cunt... No, I didn't actually write that, but that was what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Why does this cunt get about £1 million a year for bellowing units of time?
Yeah.
That's all he ever did. 4 minutes. You got 2 minutes. And then when he ate the food, it was like some sort of fucking yob who'd just eaten a nice pie.
Yeah.
That is lovely.
Yeah.
That is lovely. Very creamy. Why did he ever have that fucking job in the first place?
I've never understood why any of those shows are in any fucking way popular.
People like them, I guess.
I've never watched it. I've never watched MasterChef. I've never watched any of those fucking cooking programs. I can't stand them.
Yeah, but point taken. I mean, I don't like them that much. My sympathy, what little bit of sympathy I have for Greg Wallace, you know, kicked out for being working class,
completely
dissipated when the fucking cunt bald fucker started playing the mental health.
My
mental health issues and I've got autism.
Yeah, and they didn't recognise it and they didn't warn me about my going into a dangerous environment. It's a fucking dangerous environment. It's a fucking TV studio.
Do you know what's interesting is that, you know, the autism groups.
Yeah.
Have come out after he claimed the autism card and said, look...
They're not very keen,
I was reading it this morning, the chairman of the British Autism Society or something. He said, because he's got autism, he said, people like me and Greg Wallace, we struggle sometimes with social signs.
Yeah.
So people with autism, serious autism, can be very awkward in social. He said, but that is not an excuse for the kind of behaviour that Greg Wallace is responsible for.
But also,
autism doesn't make you run around with a sock on your
collar. Exactly. And also, he claims that after he was spoken to in 2019, that he changed his behaviour because he realised it was out of order. So either he has a filter or he doesn't.
Yeah.
And if he says he doesn't, then how did he change his behaviour? Yeah.
By the way, the backdrop to... It was last November he was suspended from...
And someone was asking me how it all came to a head. Was it not somebody complained?
Well, yeah. It was a woman who was on the show. Or it might have been... But the point is, the backdrop to it, you say, how did it all come to a head? People forget, before that, he'd been fired from Inside the Factory, which was another BBC show. Yeah. When he used to go to baked bean factories to find out how high and he used to go like things like, you know, you're telling me that you get through 22 tons of baked beans every single day
Struth!
Right.
Anyway, he got fired from that for inappropriate behaviour. Yeah. I'd have fired him for being a useless presenter, but that's another point. So it didn't come as a shock. So he'd already had that. And then I think that the MasterChef thing unfolded because I'm not sure if it was a contestant, but I think it might have been members of staff.
It was somebody who was kind of somehow eye level with his crotch. And that was when he dropped his trousers.
So he had it coming. I mean, and then of course once the drawbridge was down, and then they all started coming out of the woodwork. Yeah, he was like that with me when I was on. You know, oh yeah, well you're very brave then. You didn't say anything then, did you?
I know, but this is the funny thing. But it's clear that there's a big problem in fucking places like the BBC and ITV, because you see, the Sun was today talking about old Gino De Campo, who's been told he'll never get a fucking job again, so he's going off to Australia. You know, because these guys, for some reason, think it's all right to fucking wander about half naked. When there are people that you work with, I just don't understand it.
Well, yeah, but having said that, don't forget Gino De Campo. Clearly another guy who's kind of inappropriate around women.
Yeah,
but you know, ITV used to embrace this. When he was the cook on This Morning,
he used to do it naked, didn't he?
He used to have just an apron on, and the recipe start bollock naked. They never thought that was hilarious, so they kind of encouraged it. The thing about Gino De Campo. When people say, oh, blimey, you know, he turned out to be a bit of a Roman. Well, gee, what a fucking surprise. This is the guy who burgled Paul Young's house.
That's right.
And was caught in his bedroom nicking his guitar or something.
I know.
So, you know, the foundation stone of Gino De Campo's career is questionable.
Not brilliant. Fuck me. What else have we going on? Because we're nearly finished now. We've done half an hour already.
Go back to Starmer. This is your show this morning, right? I'm thinking, this guy, he gaslights the nation.
Yeah.
He lies like no other Prime Minister we've ever had. But I think he gaslights himself. I think he's ideal to be in this kind of shit.
Right.
Because I think he doesn't recognise.
No.
He tells these lies and he believes them himself.
Yeah.
You know, the story that struck me that you were talking about this morning with one of your guests, Chris Phillips, I think it might have been, was that he stood in PMQ's Prime Minister's Question Time on Wednesday and said, business confidence is 9% up, just as figures were coming out proving that business confidence was 3% down.
Right.
So he literally lies and expects us to believe this. Of course we don't.
Yeah.
But I genuinely think he convinces himself.
Yeah. Maybe he's one of these people, because of the ridiculous...
He's on a fucking spectrum, isn't he?
He must be. I don't believe the bullshit that he didn't read that speech about, you know, the land of strangers, whatever it was. I just don't believe it. Island of Strangers.
Sounds like a Kenny Rogers song.
Yeah, but if it was true, then maybe he's just somebody that parrots whatever he's fucking told to say. Whatever put in front of him, you know?
Yeah.
And so if somebody says, just tell them business confidence is up, because I'm sure there's a Labour kind of plan, which if they keep saying the same thing, the stupid people, as they see them, the people that vote for them, will just think it's true. Because if you keep saying the economy's fucking booming, the economy's fucking doing better than everywhere else,
that's what Starmer's doing. They must
be doing it for a reason. And the only reason I can figure out is that they must believe that if they say it often enough, it will sink in and people will remember
it. Well, that's what politicians do. But
it's so brazen, though.
You know, this is the worry with this government. Well, there's so many worries with this government, but... never before has a government employed the tactic of directly lying to the people.
No,
and that's
not
quite
so blatant.
Well, they did. I mean, you know, the truth for politicians is a sort of malleable, flexible commodity,
which we get, right?
You know, but
in the spin is one thing. This is outright
spin. Exactly
lies.
Right. They spin.
This
the
is
truth.
Outright lies.
This guy and his cabinet and this government are just lying to us, and I think. We're clearly seeing the last days of the Raj when it comes to the Tory party.
Yeah.
And I think that this government will do for the Labour Party.
Yeah.
I think they're fucked after this.
Yeah.
They're fucked.
They are.
Because they proved that their philosophy, their ideology is not commensurate with the real world.
No, and also even their own people are now drifting away from them and just going, no, sorry, we're not fucking over
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this Labour government now...
Starmer and his left-wing crew are doing things that is anathema to them. They fucking hate it.
Yeah.
They like the migrant crisis. Oh, but yeah. Starmer, they like letting all these people in, but Starmer realises that they've got to at least look as if they're doing something about it. Same for the welfare system. Yeah. They fuck that up, but they're trying to clamp down because they know they've got to. In other words, when they came into fucking power, being Labour, they thought, right, we'll up the ante, give everybody benefits, free fucking cars, everything, all this. And by the way, 589 free cars given out on the motorbed, 589,000 last year given out to people with constipation and tennis elbow. Fucking so anyway, that's what they love doing. So they came into power a year ago, said, right, we're not benefits for everyone. Let's take the money off the rich and give it to fucking layabouts and all that kind of stuff. And what they've realised over this year is it just doesn't work.
No.
And people will hate you for it.
Yeah.
So they're now having to at least performatively behave in a way that they hate. They hate what they're having to do because they've realised Labour politics just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. Exactly right. Fucking bunch of cunts.
Yeah. Silly wankers.
Yeah. Anyway, that'll do. Fucking Christ.